felt like I wanted to reread some scripture. And I talked to my husband about it one day, and I read the birth of Christ, and I talked to my husband. I would visit about it in the mornings, and one day I visited with my daughter about it because she had a son, a newborn son, and we talked about Mary, and we talked about Joseph, and we really wanted to think about the birth of Christ, that story. And in that, I got so many rich things that I have felt to share with you today. Sometimes we don't talk about Mary. Sometimes we don't mention, you don't hear it very often. Mary preached about in our congregations. And I just wonder if it has anything to do with the doctrines of Mariology. That's a doctrine in itself. With men and men's traditions that have taken scripture and began to emphasize too much of this person or this thing, and they've made statues, and now they have special books of prayer that are to this person, and it's not to God. I just wonder if that has caused me to stay away from talking about Mary too much. Have you ever thought about that? And I had these conversations with my family, but during the Christmas season, I just was all I could do to set out some of the decorations at my house. I told my husband, if my grandchildren were not coming to my house, I probably wouldn't even decorate it. Number one, we're hardly there. Number two, blah, blah, blah. But I was really getting into the story of Christ, and I wanted to know, even though he probably wasn't born in December and all of that stuff. I would reread Luke 1 over and over again, and I just imagined this young girl, do you realize she was probably between the age of 12 and 14? Are there any 12-year-old girls in the room? I don't see Cherish today. Are there any 12-year-old boys? Well, you don't have to raise your hand because you don't want to be equated with Mary. But she was probably between the ages of 12 and 14. What is that, sixth grade? That's about when young ladies were married in those days, between the age of 12 and 14. And I could just imagine her walking outside of her city, which at that age, if you read the books of history, could have only been about 500 people. Not all of them practiced the Jewish religion as Mary did so faithfully. Many of them, it says, were influenced by the, if you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile, by the Gentiles. And they were rough and they were gruff and they were kind of a crude person, is what history says. And this city is built on a hill, on tall cliffs. It's in the hill. And up above the hill on this cliff is often a place in this city you can read stories. If they wanted to kill you before the townspeople, they would take you up onto this cliff and throw you off of that cliff. And that is how you died that day. That was actually the cliff they threatened to throw Jesus off. In that city that we call Nazarene. That city now is in near the hillsides of what today is Lebanon, and you can go there. That was the city she was from. I can imagine this 12-year-old girl walking along, minding her own business. Maybe she was carrying a jug on the way to the well. Just a young person. But a young person that even in an unknown city, a city that isn't known for their Jewish religion, isn't known for being a spiritual place, she served God in the midst of it as a young girl. She was faithful. If she went to school, probably not. But in her school, in her learnings, she was a committed young handmaiden in this kind of unpopular, unknown place called Nazarene. And she's walking along, and all of a sudden somebody comes towards her, and she notices they had on this white garment. You know, in Matthew, it does talk about angels. When angels appeared, they appeared as lightning, and they were bright white. That is a scripture. You can look it up. Actually, it's in John. So she saw this white thing coming towards her, and it was large, and she just looked down carrying her jug, walking along, and this thing says to her, "Hail, hail." That's what the scripture says. I'm going to read it to you right now. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 26. Thank you, Mark. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." This is in the scripture. We hardly like to talk about Mary because of what men have done to her. This young lady, 12 years old, from an unknown person, from an unknown city, who's trying to serve God in the middle of her, let's call it a youth group, and stay faithful. Gabriel appears to her. Hail! That's great acclamation. That's great salutation. Hey, lady, you, I'm talking to you. You are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled in his saying and cast her mind on what manner of salutation should this be. Usually what she knew of the Old Testament, when an angel appeared, it was often something to fear. It was white, it was shiny, it was bold, there was mixed emotions, there was fear, but I wonder if there was also a little bit of peace. He came like lightning, and he's saying to me, a nobody in the middle of nowhere? I think she was feared. I think she was afraid, because then it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Who is this? What is happening here? Me and all my emotions, I can just imagine all of her emotions. And imagine a 12-year-old girl. And when she saw him, I'm going to read this for the third time, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary, she must have had a strong constitution after all that was just said to her to actually talk back to this thing. "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost has come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when she spake with a loud voice, and she said with a loud voice to Mary, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this unto me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told from the Lord." And Mary said, listen to what Mary replies. It's this whole long thing of thanksgiving, and just she's really processing what has happened to her with a heart of thanksgiving. My soul, verse 46, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Me, a nobody from nowhere, a young girl. All I've been trying to do was serve God in the midst of my community and stay faithful. Who am I that God would choose me, would know who I am, would use me? And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. That's what she said. I'm not about to start worshiping Mary, but that is in the scripture. As much as we are almost timid to say that, Mary had an encounter on a normal day, probably just going to the well, a nobody in the middle of nowhere, a town of nobodies, and she had an encounter with a messenger from God. Whatever he put into her was enough for her to receive this and say. She acknowledges her low estate. Who am I? My low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. She took it. She believed what that angel, what that messenger was imparting to her, a nobody. She took it. All right. Who am I? I'm nobody. But if God says so and God sent you, I believe it. All generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he has showed strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats, and he has exalted them from a low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away.
In King James is H-O-L-P-E-N. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Sounds to me like she went to prophesying. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and turned to her own home.
This Christmas season, I read that again, and I read that again. And I remember even one night having dinner, talking to my son-in-law, who I like to talk to him about the scripture. I like to talk to anybody about the scripture, my girls, my husband. And I said some things about Mary. And somewhere in all of our conversation, we automatically went to the doctrine that has been, the world has made this subject not holy, not pure. But the world did that. The scripture doesn't do that. But now to overcorrect, we don't talk about her too much or emphasize her too much because it's too close to what people are doing in the imagery that they're doing, and we want to be careful. And right away, my family's conversation kind of went like that. And I remember saying to my son-in-law, Brother Johnston, I don't know if you remember there, I said, I wonder if that religion has put a bad name on her when they've just messed with scripture, when she really was a blessed person. And now we can't hardly say her name. Maybe not to that extreme. But you know what it made me think of? It made me think of how many other things, and this is what I want to talk to you about, how many other things in this world has the world taken something that God created and God blessed and God anointed, and they messed with it, they tweaked it just enough to where we have overcorrected and we want to walk on the safe side, therefore we don't go there. This morning on the way driving here, you know what I thought of? I thought of the rainbow. The rainbow that God created, God made, and God said, I'm putting this sign in the sky for you to look upon, and it is a covenant. God made the first rainbow, not some group. And now, will my grandchildren feel okay if they want to color a picture at school and they draw a rainbow? Is the teacher going to wonder what connotation they're leaning towards? You know, I don't know where that came. I was driving to church this morning. I looked over there. I didn't see a rainbow, but I thought that'd be a pretty place for a rainbow. That's what I thought. On Shaw Road, when you come over that bridge, and I thought, oh, I just love this place. It's gorgeous. That'd be a pretty place for a rainbow. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to teach Hadley how to draw a rainbow. And I'm going to tell her, this is what is given in the scripture. God made rainbows, and it's a sign that he will never destroy the earth again by a flood. Forget. Don't even get into your mind what the world has put on this. That's exactly what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. He took scripture and he twisted it. He came from a different perspective. He gave just enough of a lie in the scripture to trip him up. And that's what we all deal with. And I won't go there to doctrines. I wonder, was it post-World War II, the Latter Rain movement? People started to gather together. They saw the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the New Testament, in the apostles' life. He sent them out two by two. Galatians talks about those operations. And why aren't they working today? So it was probably good people with a good motive that got together and they prayed and they fasted. But all they sought were the gifts. They did not seek the giver of the gifts. And so I wonder if that, you know, I don't know where the imbalance came, but I'm sure they had a good motive in their heart. They were good people. I'm sure I'll see them all in heaven. I hope they do. But then they started, it was all about going to school to learn the gifts. We need the gifts in operation every service. And then they all started prophesying to one another. They started, I have a word of knowledge for you. I have a discernment for you. Brother Cool, tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to eat Wheaties. And I'm telling you today, don't put those blueberries on.
on them because they will stain your teeth. I don't know if you know that, but that's what I have found. And yada, 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 yada. And so this started taking off. And this, by this time, I don't know, it was in the 50s. You know what that did? Our pastor that we grew up in, that was pastoring my husband and I for 13 years in Yakima, his group of men where he was ordained and he learned and he was mentored, the latter rain actually was what they called the first charismatics. If you do your history, it wasn't known as the Pentecostal movement. That's when the first, they started to call them charismatics. And they started coming away from that. And just what, like I would do, overcorrected. And the gifts and the operations of the gifts that are in the scripture that God gave to us for the working of God's kingdom in this community, in this city, years ago, they were shut down because it scared. I don't know if Brother Leslie would want me using that word. My pastor, though, I know he talked to him a lot when he was investing in Bishop as a young minister about balance in the operation of gifts. And that he talked about for a long time, he went away from all gifts. And then it was actually kind of when we just, not a little bit before we arrived on the scene, they started to welcome again the gifts. But they always were quick to put a lid on it because the world, men's tradition, flesh had dealt and not presented the scripture as God would have it presented, even though they are ordained by God and they are a new thing. I wonder, Mary, the angel said, Mary, you are highly favored. I don't even use those words anymore. Why? Because that has been used in other denominations and been made a joke out of. Have you ever, ever, ever wanted to give yourself to something and you know it's in the Word? You know it was created as a pure act of God. But maybe somebody made fun of it once. The world just did a little something to it. Flesh just did a little something to it. So you don't want to do it. It stops you. What if we, I'm just proposing this. I'm not proposing that we all start prophesying to one another. But you know what? If you were here on Wednesday night, you heard an amazing 45 minutes of teaching about the use of dreams in the scripture. That is scriptural. You've heard some teaching as of late that are leading us back to this, to where I feel like it's, I personally need to shake off some preconceived ideas that man's flesh has tweaked just a little bit. Or the pride, my spiritual pride. When was the last time, okay, now I'm just going to get just down on the level of me. There's times in my life, and I know we all do this. Did you know that all through the Bible, sometimes when people were worshiping, they would shake and tremor under the Word of God? When's the last time you wanted to shake, but you didn't want anybody to make fun of you? When's the last time you wanted to just march around the aisles because you felt like you were just stomping on the devil and you were claiming victory and it was doing something, these outward things. God created them for a reason. He knows what he's doing will help our inward man believe.
our inward emotion, receive it, embrace it. Sometimes you have to move to be able to get your brain to follow it. I'm just not afraid to talk about Mary anymore. Now, maybe you have never been afraid to talk about Mary. Maybe it's probably because in the last 5 years, I went to school, and within some of these classes I shared with you, there was a Roman Catholic priest, there was a Presbyterian ordained minister, there was a lesbian Episcopalian priest, there was a Baptist, he was Southern Baptist, and then there was me, the only one that wasn't ordained and a Bible college graduate. And we would have the most amazing conversations, and they would take me on in class, and the professor would edge it on. He would feed fire on it. I would so many days after those classes come home bawling like a little girl saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. But I got to where I could hang out with Father Justin McCready, and he is my friend. And he left the most amazing. We shared things I didn't think I could share with a man of his faith. One time, I'll tell this. We were at the hospital, and they were requesting that a Catholic priest come and read the last rites and do this. And some of the language is from the old church. They don't even do some of that anymore. So I called Justin McCready, and he just happened to be driving by, and he came. And because he didn't have his faculty with him to put on, and he didn't have his oil that was blessed by, I don't know, somebody, saint somebody, he couldn't do it. We had hung out enough and talked enough. I said, what? What? I don't have my oil. I've got oil. I'll go get it right now. It's in the office. Sister Delia, ha, 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 ha. He always did this, ha, 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 ha. Like we're about to have an uncomfortable conversation again. That won't work. Why not? I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, well, okay, I'll go pray for him. And then if you can get back in time, if they're still alive. And he's like, I'll be back as soon as I can. And these were such, I think it made me want to be maybe over careful in some areas. But I learned a lot. And I learned this. I really don't care if I'm a nobody without the education you have. And I don't have to be ordained for God to use me. That's a whole different subject. Sometimes you need that certificate to do what you need to do at your job. But on the other hand, I can be a nobody from a nobody town that God says, just believe, and not only believe, embrace it and walk in it. I have got to get rid of my inhibitions and start ignoring the little things the world has twisted just a little bit. If it means my worship, there's been times I've been sitting on the front row and I just felt like I could feel it. I'll tell you, one time was not this Sunday, but last Sunday when the Seahawks were playing the big game. You can say what it is. It is what it is. But from when I first came to Christ when I was 19, I've always had this thing because my family's an emotional family. When we laugh hard. When we cry hard. It's bad. When we are at a game, we get excited. When we would go and do something at a concert, and what nobody taught me this, it's just in me. If I'm going to go to a baseball game, and my grandson is out there and he's you know, running the bases, and I'm screaming my head off, you better bet your britches, I've got it down in here that I have to now go to church on Sunday and scream louder for Jesus. That is deep inside of me. I don't know where I got it, and sometimes it just kind of messes with me. So I was thinking, I was up here worshiping. I wasn't even thinking about the game last, but I thought, oh, game's starting. And I thought, they're all yelling. They're yelling whatever those guys' names are. Can't remember them. I don't know. I'm trying to remember one right now, and I can't. That's how bad it is. Russell. Thank you, my son-in-law. Russell, for those of you that follow him on Twitter, Russell, and they're yelling those names. Something came over me last Sunday, and I was like, Jesus, during song service. I thought that's all I could do. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I know. And I thought about Russell the next day. And my husband and I were pitiful. We turned off the game. We thought they were losing. We had our soup. We went home. Larry just happens to turn on the radio. He yells at me. I'm outside. They're ahead. I'm like, what? I come back in and we have our iPhone on. We're listening to the game. I'm on my computer and I'm thinking, there's got to be a way to find this streaming online. I'm texting my son-in-laws because I know they're listening to their phones or they're streaming it somehow. I'm like, oh, we got to see this. We got to see this. We got to see this. Well, it was over and we were down in our dark family room, me and Larry listening to our iPhone. You would have thought it was the 40s and there was a radio there and that. And I really did think, you know what, we do. It'd be okay, I think, if we came up in a couple areas of our life. But anyway, the fireworks start going off. Everyone's celebrating. My kids are texting, where are you? We're home in our family room. And so we just drove to their house to be somewhere to celebrate with somebody. Woohoo! And so, yes, I did Google some things, and I did see Brother Russell cry and give glory to God. Now, whether God cares about the Seahawks winning, I don't know, and I'm not going to ask him. There's plenty of other people that are praying about those situations. Not me. But I thought, thank you, God, that this man who loves you and has given glory to you just happens to be on a platform where hundreds of thousands, I don't know, of people are listening to him, and he's giving you the glory. Praise God. I'm not going to say anything negative about that. I'm going to praise God about that. And I'm thankful. And I have no idea why I went down that road. But there are some things that will trip us up. I'm telling you what, just all I could do last Sunday during song service, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And I thought about those people. And I thought about how many people are there that they don't know God? There's nothing wrong with following them. There's nothing wrong with being excited. I'm looking forward to somehow watching the game next week. Thank God. I have no what the time. I have no. I better be playing after church. But, you know, we'll make a way. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on this. But some things really trip us up, don't they? They really trip us up. And I was determined last week. I'm just, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I will praise your name above everything else. Above everything else. And some things that have been meant for our good, for our betterment, God, show me if it has messed with my approach to what you made as good. I know of some men that would like to say, I want to start having a family devotion. I want to read. But you know what? Somebody might look at them and make fun of them and say, ha, 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 you just came back from men's retreat. Look at you. Now you're going to do this, huh? It'll be just enough for them to feel like, oh, yeah, you're right. That's kind of cheesy. You know what? It's not. We really, really any part of our life that is in the scripture, I don't want to be affected by what the world has done with it. I don't want to be affected. I want to be what God wants me to be. And it's just a normal day. It was a normal day for Mary, but it was a life-changing day. God bless you.
A holy nation who've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen vessels. Chosen vessels. Excuse me the reference, but if this is the end game, you're the players that he's called onto the field. Why would it surprise us that anybody from anywhere, rather than a nobody from nowhere, but anybody from anywhere, here in this strangely named town, would be called into his kingdom to do something according to his purpose and will that would extend far beyond the norm? Would you stand with me right now? In light of some of the things that were spoken on Wednesday night, some of the things that were talked about here today and over the last few days, there are times when there is a readying. The Lord readies and prepares a people to receive. I felt earlier as my wife was speaking was to call for the young people. And when I say young, I'm saying up to the age of 25. If you're here and you're from 0 to 25, would you mind assembling up here in the front?